Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Tonight, the miracle rescues as the death toll in that earthquake disaster climbs to more than 12,000. The search for survivors in Turkey and Syria growing increasingly desperate. More than 3 days after the powerful quake, rescuers pulling a toddler and a newborn alive from the rubble. Tonight, the struggle to get aid through. Our team at the epicenter. Also tonight, President Biden taking his State of the Union message on the road after calling on lawmakers to, quote, finish the job. As he eyes a 2024 re-election bid. And the Republicans who booed and jeered his speech, how the president took new aim at them today. The threat of severe storms and tornadoes across the South. Al Roker tracking it all for us. The deadly crash, a city bus slamming into a daycare, the charges the driver is facing. The Alec Murdaugh murder trial halted for hours today while the courthouse was suddenly evacuated. The family terrorized with racist threats caught on doorbell cam. The charges announced today, but why did it take police more than a year to make an arrest? Our NBC News exclusive on the ground with the U.S. troops training Somalians to take on one of the world's biggest terror threats.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. The clock and the calendar say time has nearly run out to find survivors in the rubble of the massive earthquakes that rumbled across Turkey and Syria. But heart and raw determination tell another story as rescuers continue to pull people out alive. There, of course, is no escaping the soul-crushing reality of more than 12,000 lives lost in the two countries. In Syria, mass graves are being dug. Tonight, across the quake zone, families, children separated in the disaster, waiting and hoping for their own miracles to emerge from the rubble of collapsed buildings. The work and the wait made more difficult by falling temperatures and a pace of relief humanitarian efforts that Turkey's president tonight acknowledges have fallen short. Tonight, our Gabe Gutierrez and his team have made their way closer to the quake's epicenter in southern Turkey.
Tonight, about 72 hours after those catastrophic earthquakes, more remarkable rescues in Turkey and Syria. This newborn survivor hoisted from the rubble. Another young girl pulled out to applaud. And her grandfather's relief. This 1.5-year-old rescued and then reunited with her father. Jubilation amid the horror. That horror stretches far and wide here. Today, we traveled to Kahramanmaraş, the epicenter, a city that endured both the initial 7.8 magnitude quake and its devastating aftershocks. These satellite images show the city before the quakes and after. Now, it is as miserable as it is frigid.
It's a chaotic scene. There are people huddled here in the cold. Some are crying. Multiple buildings on this block have collapsed, and there's an active search and rescue operation underway.
But every few minutes, they discover another body. And another family is crushed with agony.
How critical is every minute here?
Every second counts, this rescuer says. Looking on is 17-year-old Tunahin Nar, who tells us at least five of his extended family members have been found dead here. At least three others are missing. He's in shock.
One big white light. Everywhere were white. I look and the chair was shaking so bad.
Across the border in Syria, at least 300,000 people have been displaced. And while there are signs of hope, like this family who was rescued, crews are also digging this mass grave for those who were not as fortunate. Today, Turkey's President Erdogan toured the devastation and publicly acknowledged problems with the initial response. This woman tells us she's waiting to hear from missing loved ones, and it's difficult to accept what's happened.
And just within the last few minutes, we've heard from a search and rescue team from Israel that they've just made contact with a woman who's trapped inside that building.
We meet her anxious father and brother, who've already lost other relatives.
How hard is it to know that she is still trapped in there?
Worse than death, he says. And for so many here who are suffering, tonight is expected to get even colder.
And Gabe, those two rescue teams from the U.S. are already on the ground there.
Yeah, that's right, Lester. They arrived here in southern Turkey earlier today. But as you can see behind me, the need here is overwhelming. There are around-the-clock searches like this one underway in several major cities across the region, Lester.
Yeah, the wait must be unbearable. Gabe, thank you. President Biden out on the road today after last night's spirited State of the Union address, sounding increasingly like a candidate for re-election as he faces a good deal of pessimism. Here's Kristen Welker.
Tonight, President Biden taking his State of the Union message on the road.
Last night, I reported on the State of the Union. It is strong.
To battleground Wisconsin, a state he won last time by just 20,000 votes.
Well, hello, Madison. Hello, laborers.
And last night's address sounding a lot like a warm-up to another presidential run.
Let's finish the job. We got to finish the job.
But let's finish the job.
Despite polls showing most Americans think the country is on the wrong track, Mr. Biden striking an upbeat tone.
I've never been more optimistic about our future.
The fiery address sparking a raucous response from Republicans, including when Mr. Biden called on Congress to tackle the fentanyl crisis. But the line that brought the biggest backlash, accusing Republicans of wanting to cut popular entitlements.
Some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority.
The remark sparking outrage, including from conservative firebrand Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Look,
today, the president firing back.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and others stood up and said, liar, liar. Reminds me of liar, liar, house on fire.
The cuts were only officially proposed by a single Republican Senator Rick Scott last year and rejected by other Republicans, including GOP leaders.
The president was saying is something that he knew was not true. I just spent an hour with him. I've said it many times before. Social Security and Medicare are off the table.
In one of the most powerful moments, applause from both sides of the aisle when the president acknowledged the parents of Tyree Nichols.
The faith of God, she said her son was, quote, a beautiful soul and something good will come of this.
But Republicans criticizing the president for making only passing mentions of China, the border crisis and crime, and accusing him of being hijacked by the, quote, radical left.
The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
And Kristen, the president stays on the road now, going to Florida tomorrow.
Lester, that's right. And the White House wants to build momentum after a speech they think went well and included some savvy, unscripted moments. In a new interview tonight, the president said despite those interruptions, most Republicans were gracious. Lester.
All right. Kristen Welker of the White House. Thanks. Tonight, as the search continues for remnants of that Chinese surveillance balloon that was shot down, U.S. officials say China's balloon spying program is far more extensive than previously known. Andrea Mitchell has late details.
Tonight, new information that the debris being salvaged from China's spy balloon and intelligence collected as U-2 spy planes circled the balloon while it flew across the country is paying off. Secretary of State Blinken says they've learned that China's balloon surveillance had a global reach, evidence the U.S. is now sharing with dozens of countries.
The United States was not the only target of this broader program, which has violated the sovereignty of countries across five continents.
Two U.S. officials tell NBC News the Chinese military has been spying on as many as 40 countries. Reports say they include Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, and according to NATO, countries in Europe. Intelligence analysts don't know whether China's President Xi Jinping knew his military had launched this balloon flight across the U.S.
It doesn't matter on one level which individuals may or may not have been responsible. The fact is, China engaged in this irresponsible action, a violation of our sovereignty.
The U.S. plans to make some of the intelligence public in the coming days, and Congress will be briefed and hold public hearings tomorrow as the crisis grows between the U.S. and the world's only other superpower.
Lester.
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. A terrifying scene today in a suburb of Montreal where a city bus rammed into a daycare facility, killing two children and injuring six others. Police arrested the driver and said he was charged with reckless driving and homicide. Authorities are investigating why he drove the bus into the building. In the South, millions are in the path of dangerous weather tonight. Severe thunderstorm and tornado watches are in effect, with some areas starting to see heavy rain and spot flooding. Al Roker is tracking it all. Al, what are we looking out for tonight?
Well, Lester, we are looking at a very volatile situation right now. Tornado watches in effect for the lower Mississippi River Valley into the mid-Mississippi River Valley till 11 o'clock tonight. We've got sporadic tornado warnings popping up. 10 million people at risk for severe weather with damaging winds and tornadoes. This area, hatched area in red, this is where we could see EF2 or stronger tornadoes overnight, nocturnal, twice as deadly. Plus, from Buffalo all the way down to Louisiana, 50 million people under wind advisories, high wind warnings, where we could be looking at down power lines and trees. Areas of possible flooding down through the Gulf, anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain. And on the backside of this thing, Lester, we're looking at 2 to 5 inches of snow from Iowa all the way to northern Michigan.
All right, Al, thank you. Turning overseas now, Ukrainian President Zelensky making a surprise visit to the UK today, meeting with both King Charles and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. And in an address to Parliament, he urged allies to send fighter jets to Ukraine. The visit coming as Russia preps a new offensive with the war nearing the one-year mark. Now, to our NBC News exclusive, for the first time, U.S. television cameras are being allowed inside a U.S. special operation that's training Somalians to take on one of the most dangerous terrorist groups in the world. Courtney Kuby is in Somalia tonight.
Tonight in Somalia, an urgent fight against one of the world's biggest terror threats. We're with U.S. forces now training Somali troops in live fire drills and hand-to-hand combat. The target, Al-Shabaab, the Al-Qaeda subsidiary responsible for deadly attacks across Africa, including on U.S. civilians. U.S. troops are not on the front lines here, but do watch from overhead drones. This never-before-seen video shows Somali forces taking back territory that Al-Shabaab once held.
This is the Joint Operations Center. The video was first seen here, where the U.S. military monitors drone feeds of Somali special operators during missions.
When trouble arises, the U.S. can provide support with airstrikes. That decision made by the commander of the U.S. Special Operations Task Force, East Africa. We can't identify him for safety concerns. He says he turns down more strikes than approves, often to avoid civilian casualties.
One strike won't win or lose this war, but one bad strike will take that authority and capability away from us and have ramifications that impact not only us, but also the international community that's here supporting Somalis.
About 350 recruits graduated today. They're now Somali Special Forces, and dozens of these men and women will be on the front lines in the battle against Al-Shabaab in a matter of days.
That includes a handful of women.
It's giving women opportunities.
At 24, she's already seen combat.
I wasn't afraid at all. I would actually go again.
Even without the terror threat, Somalis face bleak conditions. They're enduring their worst drought ever. Nearly half the population is starving.
Is the world doing enough to help the Somali people?
No, the American people are. The American people have been extremely generous. We really need to see Somalia's partners, traditional partners, new partners, respond to this human tragedy.
Making matters worse, Al-Shabaab's retaliation tactics. But these new soldiers, remarkably undeterred. Tonight, celebration and hope in a place that desperately needs it. Courtney Kuby, NBC News, Beledogle, Somalia.
In 60 seconds, a woman charged with harassing a family over the last year and racist rants caught on a doorbell camera. Why did it take so long for authorities to act?
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with 16-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys to talk about a career full of beautiful music and the new Broadway musical inspired by her own life. You can get our conversation now for free wherever you download your podcasts.
In South Carolina, the double murder trial of Alec Murdoch was interrupted today by a bomb threat at the courthouse. Murdoch and the jurors were evacuated along with everyone else. Police brought in a bomb-sniffing dog to help search. After a couple of hours, people were allowed back and the trial resumed. Also tonight, a woman in St. Louis facing charges for allegedly terrorizing a family with racist threats caught on doorbell cam. But as Stephanie Goss reports, police are facing questions after they took more than a year to act.
Tonight, 54-year-old Judy Klein is facing multiple charges, including first-degree burglary and unlawful use of a weapon.
Get out, you're illegal. You don't belong on American property. Get out.
The charges come a full year after the St. Louis prosecutor says she used a hammer to break into the basement of the Suarez's home.
My dad said that she lifted her arm up and was going to hit him with the hammer.
Fatima Suarez says her father and four-year-old sister were threatened.
My sister was the one that actually saw her first. I mean, what could have happened?
But Klein was not charged with any crime after the arrest.
American citizen, angry at you.
And then she returned four more times. In March, stealing mail, according to the family. The family says they went to police, and again, no charges. Frustrated and worried, Fatima posted the videos online.
I know you didn't buy this house. You don't have enough money.
This week, her posts started getting a lot of attention.
I'm not going to let this woman just keep harassing and putting my family's life in danger.
After our interview today, charges were announced. A source close to the investigation says back in January, the police classified the break-in with the hammer as nonviolent and didn't hand over evidence. The St. Louis Police Department did not respond to requests for comment on how the case was handled. NBC News' attempts to reach Klein were unsuccessful.
What do you want to have happen now, Fatima?
I want her put away. She needs help. Because I really don't believe she's in her right state of mind.
Her family has lived the last year in fear, she says. Tonight, they may no longer need to. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News.
And up next tonight, growing concern about those eye drops linked to infections and even death. We speak to one woman who says her vision still hasn't fully returned. What you need to know next. There is growing alarm tonight over eye drops that could be contaminated with a deadly bacteria. Two brands are under a voluntary recall, but doctors warn they are still seeing patients with dangerous infections. Here's Ann Thompson with what you need to know.
The FDA warning is for two over-the-counter eye drops, EsriCare artificial tears and Deslam artificial tears. Stop using them immediately, says the government, and don't buy any more.
Then it got red, real red.
Judy Gregory and her daughter Kim wish they had known that last summer when Judy says she used the EsriCare drops and developed symptoms.
I could see still then when I first went to the doctor, it was just like, I think it was just like it felt like something was in it.
Judy spent 9 days in the hospital until the infection in her left eye cleared. She still has her eye, but not all of her vision.
She's like, I'm miserable. I can't do anything. So she's even having a hard time enjoying any type of life.
Officials say the drops could be contaminated with what the government calls a rare and extensively drug-resistant strain of bacteria. Dr. Darlene Miller of Miami's Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute says it is very aggressive.
Is this a fast-moving bacteria?
If they don't seek emergency help, it can destroy the eye within 48 hours.
The government's identified 55 cases in 12 states. One person died, and there are 5 reports of vision loss. Symptoms include sensitivity to light, eye pain, and blurry vision.
How quickly do they need medical treatment?
As soon as they have any of those symptoms, they need to present to their provider, either to the emergency rooms or to their physician, their ophthalmologist, immediately.
I'm frustrated. I can't get out on my own.
As for Judy, surgery is in her future to restore her eyesight and independence. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
That's nightly news for this Wednesday. Thank you for watching. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.